Your insurance company may have written your policy, but they don't decide the law. Call the Wallace Firm now at 844-844-WINS. By holding insurance accountable, the Wallace Firm is helping our community rebuild. That's 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com, proud partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
All right, top NBA stories. Got to get started right off the bat with all these games going on today. Two games. All right, I'm making it sound like it's five games. The Denver Nuggets handle the Los Angeles Clippers 111-105. The Nuggets, by the way, how about the Denver Nuggets? Our Denver Nuggets. Denver 38-25. They outscored the Los Angeles Clippers by 13 points in that fourth quarter. They force a game six. That's big time news in the NBA. That's big time news if you're the Los Angeles Lakers. Paul Millsap, 17 huge points, 14 points in just the third quarter. Jamal Murray had 26 points. Jokic had 22 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 assists. The Denver Nuggets live to see another day, but in my opinion, more importantly, they give the Los Angeles Lakers an opportunity to finish off their series before the Clippers finish their series. I said this very early on in the show. I genuinely feel this way. I'm not saying that the Los Angeles Clippers are not the real deal, but what I am saying is I feel like they're a little bit overhyped. I feel that they had to go six games against a Dallas Mavericks team that didn't have Kristaps Porzingis for most of the series. They are obviously going six games against the Denver Nuggets. Lakers got a chance to close out both their series if they finish tomorrow, both of them in five. The hype continues, the hype machine of this Los Angeles Clippers team. They're unstoppable. There's no way you can beat them. And the list goes on. Might I remind you, the Los Angeles Lakers got some pretty damn good players that have won NBA championships before. Can't wait for that showdown. But at least for tonight, 111-105, Nuggets over the Los Angeles Clippers. All right, top NBA stories. We continue. The Boston Celtics are moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals. The Boston Celtics are facing the Miami Heat. I'm going to keep an eye out here on when that schedule is going to come out. Eventually, we're going to have an idea when game one is going to be. But the Boston Celtics outscore the Toronto Raptors by 4 in the fourth quarter. They end up winning by 5, 92-87. Jason Tatum, 29 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal and a block shot. That dude's got a chance to be a superstar in the NBA. Jaylen Brown, 21 points. The Toronto Raptors won the NBA championship last year. They obviously did it with Kawhi Leonard. Get to the second round, and they don't go any further. This is a surprise for many people in the Eastern Conference. It's a surprise for a lot of NBA fans. Most people thought it was going to be the Milwaukee Bucks and the Toronto Raptors, the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat obviously had something different to say about that. So that series ends in seven games. By the way, can I just say this about that series? What a great series. This competition in the NBA, in this NBA playoffs, I don't know why my voice got really high on that. I got very excited right there. The competition so far in this NBA bubble, what more can you ask for if you're an NBA fan? What more can you ask for? I mean, all these teams are delivering. All of them are competing. If they don't like being in the Orlando bubble, let me tell you this, they're not showing it. They are playing their hearts out, and they're doing it in front of obviously so many different consumers, and we should appreciate what we're getting a chance to see from the NBA because they not only did what they can to finish off the regular season, they're not only testing and have been absolutely flawless in everything that they've done, but the product is amazing. This Raptors-Boston Celtics series, I go back to game six, double overtime game. I was driving around. I'm trying to listen to the game, and then at one point I pull over. I just get the ESPN app. I hit play. I got to watch this game. We're in double overtime here. But the product has been great. Hats off to the Toronto Raptors for fighting. Hats off to the Toronto Raptors for having the type of season they did without Kawhi Leonard. All right, top NBA stories. We continue. Is the Miami Heat a real threat? Miami found a way to not just beat the Milwaukee Bucks, they beat the Milwaukee Bucks down 4-1. Wasn't even much of a series, if you ask me. And people can sit back and say, well, Giannis Antetokounmpo had a beat-up ankle. They were up 3-0. They were up 2-0 with Giannis no problem injury-wise. They dominated that series. So when people ask the question, is Miami a real threat to win an NBA championship? I think they're a legitimate threat. I think they have the perfect balance. I don't think they're better than, by the way, I don't think they're better than either Los Angeles team. I do think that they will beat the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I think they'll be representing the East in the NBA Finals in that Orlando bubble. But they're a legitimate a threat, and they're a team that I feel like if you don't pay attention to them, if you take them lightly, a Pat Riley team, and every time, you know, I already had so much respect for Pat Riley, but Michael Thompson, doing the pregame show with Michael Thompson, when he talks about Pat Riley, I swear he stands up, his back gets straighter, he tucks his shirt in. He has such a respect for Pat Riley, and he knows how Pat Riley, how he runs his businesses. And when I'm talking about businesses, I'm talking about organizations. That was his coach. He knows everything about Pat Riley. So you can't take the Miami Heat lightly. And, you know, if you're the Los Angeles Lakers or if you're the Los Angeles Clippers and you're in that battle in the Western Conference, you're going to eventually face a team in the finals. If it is the Miami Heat, I think it's going to be a tough out, even though I think both LA teams will be the favorites in it. I think the Miami Heat are a threat. I think the Miami Heat end up in the NBA Finals against, you know, obviously the Lakers or the Clippers. All right, top NBA stories. We'll continue here. So there was a tweet yesterday. I'm going to read off some of these tweets here. Twitter, great site. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it. On Twitter, yesterday, it was Shams Charania. And there's a lot of question marks right now about when next season is going to start. And listen, someone, you know, you can be an NBA fan and just have curiosity when next season's going to start. I mean, we all have that curiosity. And then even someone like myself, where my livelihood, what I do day to day is predicated on, you know, obviously the NBA schedule. So let me read off this tweet from Shams Charania. NBA's league office informed Board of Governors today that the 2020-2021 season won't begin earlier than Christmas Day. So Christmas Day will be the soonest it starts. We've heard this conversation before. At one point, the idea was December 1st. Not happening. Now the earliest it's going to start is Christmas. And then I was on that website again earlier today, Twitter, social media website. Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski put out a tweet. He says, there's still no clarity on when the 2020-2021 NBA season will start, but the league has told teams to expect an 8-week advance notice of a proposed opening night of the season, sources tell ESPN. So this is what we do know about next year. It's not starting before Christmas Day, and we'll have a notice of 8 weeks. I think this is going to be one of those things. I know what the goal is for the NBA. Adam Silver did this about a month ago. Adam Silver, he mentioned, I forget what interview was on, but he talked about how we want to wait as long as we can with, you know, keeping everything in mind. You can only wait so long. To have an opportunity to have fans back in stadiums. For those who don't know, 40% of the league's revenue comes from fans inside of those arenas. So right across the street here is Staples Center. You know, it's really, genuinely, it's sad to walk into LA Live like I do every time I do any of these shows. There's nobody here. Staples Center. I've been working in LA Live for over 10 years, 11 years now. The 11 years that I've been here, there's not a night that you don't walk out of this place. Yard House is booming. Starbucks always got a line. Ritz-Carlton and the, you know, Wolfgang Puck. You go down the list. Staples Center, Kings game is done. Clippers game, Lakers concert. There's always things going on. There is nothing going on in LA Live right now. Why do I say that? I mention it because what Adam Silver is hoping to do by delaying next season, can maybe they delay it to January 1st. Maybe they delay it to February 1st. When I talked to Michael about this, Michael's like, look, I think it's a floating target. What we do know is they'll give us an 8-week notice when next season's going to start. A lot of that's going to be predicated probably on the vaccines, what each state decides to do, what the structure of the NBA is going to be for next season. What I will tell you, it's not going to be an NBA bubble. I think that NBA bubble, this structure, the way they did this, I don't see it happening again. You're trying to play 82 regular season games, or let's say it was less, it was 70 games, something along those lines. You're not telling these guys to go sit in an Orlando bubble for 6 months, 7 months, 8 months. That's not going to happen. So I'll be curious how the NBA structures things, but if there's one league I got confidence in, if there's one league that I know understands what to do, how to do it, try different things, respect everybody's voice, it's the NBA. So we'll keep everybody posted on that front. Top NBA stories continues. There are five NBA coaching jobs available right now. All right, I want to rank, in my opinion, the worst to the best coaching jobs available. So for those who don't know, I got you. If you don't know, let me fill you in a little bit. The Pelicans job is available. The Oklahoma City Thunder job is available. Philadelphia 76ers, Chicago Bulls, and the Indiana Pacers. Let me rank these from worst to best. I think the worst job out of all those teams right there, all those franchises, I think the worst one, this one's actually tough to say, but I got my reasons for it. It's the Oklahoma City Thunder job, and I'll tell you why it's the Thunder job. It's not that Sam Presti and that ownership hasn't done an amazing job running a small market team in an NBA that typically in the past, it's big markets that win. The Oklahoma City Thunder, it's a great franchise, but they are going to be rebuilding. Chris Paul is not going to be on that roster when next season starts. Billy Donovan's not back as the head coach. They parted ways after this contract ended because the idea is to rebuild. They have so many draft picks stockpiled that they took from the Los Angeles Clippers because of Paul George. They took from Russell Westbrook or the Houston Rockets in that Russell Westbrook trade. They have their own picks. So they are going to stockpile to try to kind of rebuild this thing organically for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And by the way, let me throw off some players that have been drafted by the Oklahoma City Thunder in the past. Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Serge Ibaka, Steven Adams, I think Jeff Green was drafted by them too. I could go down the list of really, really good NBA players that are in the NBA today, and they were drafted by the Oklahoma City Thunder. But I just say it's the worst coaching job only because it's probably going to take a while for them to regrow. I think I sold myself that it's not the worst coaching job. I'll just go down that rank. I got the Pacers after that because I think the Pacers are going to have some trouble rebuilding this thing. The reason why I got Chicago Bulls number three, that fan base is so good. That market is so good for the NBA. Now, that doesn't mean ownership is good, but damn, if you can get a good team. If you become the head coach of the Chicago Bulls and you just make a playoff run, you got some opportunity there. You probably got an opportunity to stick around there for a while. Like I said, just that fan base is awesome. That's a great NBA market. The NBA is better off having them in a position, having the Bulls in a position to be a part of the postseason. The second best coaching position available right now is the Pelicans. You get Zion Williamson. You get the most improved player in the NBA in Brandon Ingram. You get a general manager that has already shown and proven that he's competent and he knows what he's doing. You got a lot of young players. You got draft picks. You got cap space. You're going to be in a position to do some good things, and you're going to be able to do it in a sustainable way. You're going to be able to do it over years. So I got the Pelicans with the second best coaching job. The number one coaching job, and I'm going to give you my reason why, is the Philadelphia 76ers. Why is that the number one coaching job in the NBA out of the five coaching availabilities, five spots that are open? You can literally win an NBA championship next year. That's how high regard I put Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. And, you know, if Al Horford sticks around, he does. If Tobias Harris is still there, they got a squad. They got a roster. And your two players that are your building blocks are going to be there for a while. Now, I'm not saying the chemistry works. And I'm not saying all the ingredients fit. But what I'm telling you is that's a team that could go to the finals any year over the next few years. They really can. They got some work to do, but that's the number one coaching vacancy, if you ask me. Okay, a couple more here. I know, guys. I know. We're going a while here on top NBA stories, but I got a lot on my mind. What should the Milwaukee Bucks do with Giannis Antetokounmpo? So the Bucks eliminated. They lose to the Miami Heat. The next day I heard all this conversation, all this chatter about, well, you know, maybe they should shop Giannis. You don't want what happened with LeBron James in Cleveland, what happened with Kevin Durant with the Oklahoma City Thunder, to happen to the Milwaukee Bucks, where they lose Giannis Antetokounmpo for nobody. Giannis isn't a free agent next season, but he's a free agent after that. And the Bucks will probably offer him a max deal. And if he doesn't take that max deal and says and kind of puts the franchise under hostage and basically tells them, nope, not signing anything long-term, keep improving this roster, I'll make my decision when my contract's up of whether I want to be here long-term or not. If you're the Milwaukee Bucks, I don't care what the scenario is, you don't trade Giannis Antetokounmpo. You walk into next season. First of all, you walk into the offseason, you try and improve. You don't make stupid moves like you did in the offseason by not bringing back Malcolm Brogdon. That's number one. Number two, you find a way to build around Giannis Antetokounmpo and you take your chances. You know why you take your chances? Because next year might be the best chance to win an NBA championship that your franchise has not ever had, because you won one with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar back in the days, but it's one of the best chances that you've had in years. Granted, they had the best record last year, they had the best record this year, and they didn't do anything in the playoffs. But if you think by trading away Giannis Antetokounmpo, you think that big picture, you're just going to all of a sudden get back into the mix, I think you take your chances, you roll the dice, you try and build around Giannis, you try and tell him whatever you need, we're going to accommodate, you're taking a risk, but you got a chance to win an NBA championship. You don't get too many chances to do it. You know, when you're at that level, you got to do a better job in the offseason of finding the right team to mix around with. I take my chances for one more year. Final thing I got here, this is the top NBA stories. Daniel House Jr. is gone from the NBA bubble. Statement from the NBA came out a little bit earlier today. Basically, he didn't follow protocol, and is out of the bubble now. I just want to say this real quick on the NBA front. They don't have a choice here. They don't. They have to do what they did. And they got to also send a message around the NBA. And from the beginning, I thought they did this. They don't have... If a player doesn't follow the protocols that they spent millions and millions and millions of dollars to set up this Orlando bubble, you can ruin the entire bubble. We could potentially not even crown a champ if the virus gets into that bubble. So I don't care what happened. If you fail protocol, and this goes for any player on any team or any coach or whatever the case is, you got to go. And that's the repercussion. If you're going to take a risk like that, you're risking everybody. You're risking the entire league. I don't have any problems with them telling Daniel House Jr. that he's got to go home. Now, I hope we get the full story at some point. We just know that he didn't follow protocol. That's your top NBA stories. And I appreciate you guys all being a part of the show. Let me plug real quick, like I mentioned before, Jonathan Fagan, who covers the Houston Rockets for the Houston Chronicle. He's coming up at 8:30. Coming up next, it's a segment I like to call Clips. All right? I call it Clips. I got great clips that came from Lakers practice today. I got great clips, Stephen A. Smith, Kendrick Perkins. Shaquille O'Neal was on with Russell Wilson's podcast. When we come back, we'll play some of these clips. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, good stuff from Mario Ruiz, as always, putting together those great promos. Lakers taking on the Houston Rockets tomorrow, Game 5. Come on, Lakers. We just finish off this series, please. Can all every Laker fan out there hang out on Sunday, kick back, chill, watch some good football? By the way, Clippers in Denver, 10 a.m. start. You're telling me I get NBA and I get NFL at the same time? I could do that all the way through. And then Sunday night, Rams, Cowboys. What is this? This is like, I don't know what to describe it. But, you know, that's why I keep mentioning Lakers take care of business for my own selfish reasons so I can enjoy my Sunday. But also take care of reasons or also take care of business because you want some nights off before you eventually end up playing the Los Angeles Clippers. Yes, I know I keep saying it. Eventually until they play Los Angeles Clippers. Okay, so tide's starting to change a little bit here. First, I felt like everybody was calling that the Clippers, that's the team to beat. Earlier today on First Take and on Get Up, I got a chance to listen to some of these really guys. I enjoy getting their opinion specifically on the NBA. I enjoy their opinion on other topics too, but NBA-wise, I love it. Kendrick Perkins was on Get Up, and you know, he's starting to kind of give his thoughts here. Lakers, Clippers, what would that look like? Who would be the favorites?
The Lakers do. The Lakers do. No one has an answer for Anthony Davis. I heard you say early in the show the Rockets don't have an answer for Anthony Davis. Neither do the Clippers. And the way that the LeBron James have turned back the hands of time, he looked like the LeBron James from the Miami days where he was playing some basketball. You look at a champion like Danny Green, who is starting to find his rhythm. Caldwell Pope is also finding his rhythm. And look at what the Lakers had to go through. They had to beat Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, a veteran team. Now they had to move on, and now they're facing this Houston Rockets team with two former MVPs, and they are handling them. I mean, just blowing them out the water. So right now, the Lakers look like the clear-cut favorite.
All right, so Kendrick Perkins, out of all the teams left, thinks the Lakers are the clear-cut favorite. I agree with him, and I know, listen, sometimes I'm in a position here at the station where I really genuinely try to be objective, and I think I am for the most part. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just lost in my own head. I talked about this a little bit earlier. I feel good about the Lakers right now. How can you not? A couple weeks ago, I would have told you, I don't know what Lakers team we're going to get when the postseason starts, because they were off for 4+ months. They played those 8 games in the Orlando bubble, and it's not like they were blowing teams out or you were, you know, sitting back and saying, God, this is the best basketball I've seen in months. No, that wasn't the case. But then the postseason started, and all those things that, you know, made the Lakers the number one team in the Western Conference, the ability to make adjustments, head coach Frank Vogel doing a fantastic job, Anthony Davis and LeBron James taking care of business every night with no nights off. And now all of a sudden, a player like Rajon Rondo emerging, getting his opportunity, was out in the first round, took a game to kind of get his flow going, and his stat line's been great, but is more importantly than his stat line, you can feel his contributions. I agree with Kendrick Perkins that out of all the teams right now that are left, and it's just the Boston Celtics, the Miami Heat, the Los Angeles Lakers, the Rockets, the Nuggets, and the Clippers, I think Lakers are the favorite. Okay, but before we get to that, Stephen A. Smith on if this Los Angeles Lakers and Houston Rockets series, is this thing over?
Anthony Davis is just too dominant and is just showcasing it 29-12. He can do what he wants when he wants against the Houston Rockets. They have no answer for him whatsoever. Actually, in this particular game, Houston had nothing going on with the exception of an 18-2 run that brought it within 103-96, if I remember correctly. And that was courtesy of 4 straight turnovers by the Los Angeles Lakers, which is why Anthony Davis said after the game they were turning the ball over too much. They're big. They defend. I can't say enough about Rajon Rondo, who's been absolutely sensational over the last couple of games. It's not just what he's doing. He is a floor general. KP is absolutely right. He's a third coach on the floor. There is no question about that. He's dictating pace. He's spelling for LeBron James, because even when he's on a court with LeBron James, he's handling some of the responsibilities, taking that load off of LeBron James' shoulders, giving LeBron the license to be in cruise control or take advantage of mismatches, whatever he chooses. So that's a plus. We know what Anthony Davis is doing. We know what LeBron James is capable of doing. Alex Caruso drops in 16 points, and the Houston Rockets have no answer. So here's what it comes down to. I think this series is over.
That's what Stephen A. Smith says. I think a lot of people are obviously starting to think that, by the way, on the defensive side for the Lakers. Actually, no. Let me not even go to the defensive side. Balanced attack for the Lakers. Yesterday's game was, you know, that's kind of an interesting one, the way it played out. So Lakers end up 6 guys scoring double figures, and you get a game like that against the Rockets. Tell me how the Rockets are going to make a series out of this. You get a game, you get that type of performance, that type of... Alex Caruso was in double figures, Rondo, Danny Green, KCP. God bless both of those guys to have both those guys in double figures in a game. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, there's your 6 players. Markieff Morris was a point away, he's 9 points. You get 6-7 guys in double figures. I don't know how anybody's going to stop the Lakers. I got a chance earlier today. So head coach Frank Vogel does those, we do those Zoom calls with the coach, and Got a chance to ask him what that type of scoring balance does for this Lakers team. How is that so effective, big picture?
Well, we have two big guns, two elite scorers that are make the right play types of players. So, you know, they're gonna take advantage of double teams and move it on to the open man. We have an intention of trying to be a team first team the way we play offensively. And, you know, when you have great ball movement and willing passers and plenty of guys on the backside that are able to make plays, you know, shooting the basketball, driving the basketball, all those types of things, you see that type of team win where you have multiple guys in double figures.
All right, that's head coach Frank Vogel. He said, well, Alan, you want to know why we have 6-7 guys in double figures? Because LeBron and Anthony Davis play on this team and they're willing to pass the ball. I said, you're right, coach. No, the reality is that that is obviously such a huge mix. I had somebody call in yesterday, the post-game show. So I'm doing a post-game show, open up the phone lines, Lakers win. I'm excited. Laker fans are excited. People calling in. And one of the guys calls in and he says, you know, I don't think LeBron had a good game. I'm like, okay, explain to me. What do you mean he didn't have a good game? He said, well, LeBron just had 16 points. And, you know, he starts talking about LeBron's got to have 30 points, got to have 32 points, something along those lines. Byron Scott was on the pregame show before the game. And I asked Byron, what makes LeBron so special? And he said his ability to make everybody else on the floor better. That LeBron, if he wanted to put up 30 points a night, he can. He doesn't want to. He knows it's more important. It's more lethal. The ability for the Lakers to win on a night-in-night-out basis, not just the Lakers, when he was in Cleveland, when he was in Miami, his two stints in Cleveland, he was comparing him to Magic Johnson. Magic wanted to put up 30 points a night. He can. But LeBron's not paying attention to what do I want. LeBron's paying attention to what's in the best interest of the team. So when he had 16 points yesterday, and when I talk about this kind of balanced attack from the Lakers yesterday, if LeBron scores 16 freaking points and the Lakers blow out the Rockets, trust me when I tell you this, that's a good thing. We have to have KCP and Danny Green and Markieff Morris and Kyle Kuzma and Alex Caruso. All of these guys have to contribute. Do you understand how much more dangerous the Lakers are with a balanced attack? And I thought Coach kind of highlighting that it's because of LeBron James and Anthony Davis that these guys get looks, they get opportunities. Of course, Rondo's 8-9 assists a game as well has a lot to do with that as well. Okay, I've spent a lot of time on the Lakers, but because I am a fair and balanced, honest reporter, I am going to bring on Jonathan Fagan, who covers the Rockets for the Houston Chronicle. So we'll kind of get a little bit of a perspective of where the Rockets are right now, what position that they're in, and get somebody who covers the Rockets what he thinks we can expect tomorrow as the Lakers and the Rockets go up in Game 5. This is Lakers Talk right here on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. Okay, I spent all this time talking about Los Angeles Lakers basketball. Of course, tomorrow, Game 5, Lakers up 3-1 on the Houston Rockets. I do want to bring in another perspective, somebody that probably will be a little bit more objective than I will, Jonathan Fagan, who covers the Rockets for the Houston Chronicle. Jonathan, thanks for taking some time and joining the show. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How you doing?
Doing good, doing all right. I want to just get your perspective here. There's probably nobody better to talk to on this Houston Rockets team. Big game yesterday. Rockets were down 2-1. You know, I talked about this for a couple days leading up to the game 4. You were kind of expecting this Rockets team to be desperate. You were expecting that they were going to throw their best punch. By halftime, Lakers were up 16. How surprised were you with yesterday's performance before we start talking about Game 5?
No, I was surprised. They came out flat, but that wasn't as bad as what happened. Later, they were worse than flat. I think they got disillusioned. I think they lost faith a little bit, confidence that they could beat the Lakers, that they could solve the problems. You know, every matchup, the team presents problems. They do something, and you have to respond. And I think they lost confidence that they could respond, and that just sapped their energy and their fight and their will, their determination. It just took it all out of them for a while. When they, I think they lost faith in what they do and how to solve the issues the Lakers present. They had to rebuild that a little bit. And maybe getting that little, maybe fraudulent run in the fourth quarter, I think that run at least helped them. It gave them an argument that, yeah, you know what, if we do things right, we can play with this team. Because they know they need to rebuild that. But I was surprised, going back to your question. It's just even when they started off kind of flat.
Sure.
I was surprised by that.
Yeah, and we've had – the reason why I asked that question is we've had this before, just watching Lakers all season long, seeing them in the postseason, in the Orlando bubble. There's times where the energy, you just it's not fully there. And yesterday, I think that's probably the best way to describe it. By the time you got to halftime, you saw a Rockets team that you felt like – I don't know if hopeless is the right word, but they, you know, were starting. Maybe it's starting to sink into their head. I don't know if we got a shot against the Lakers. Nonetheless, tomorrow is game five. It is extremely tough to close out teams. We saw that a little bit earlier today between the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Clippers. So with that in mind, what do you expect from the Rockets tomorrow? And is this one of those games that you think they could catch the Lakers off guard, or do you expect that the Lakers, just based off their talent and what you've seen already this series, that they close it out tomorrow?
Well, I don't think they catch the Lakers off guard. I think the Lakers smell blood. You know, and just as with the first round, I think they also know there's an advantage to, especially now that the Clippers have lost, yeah, go ahead and get yourself a couple extra days to relax, you know, pull some more fish out of Camp Hoopalata and get ready for the next round. And so I think the Lakers are going to be really looking to try and finish it off, but I would be really surprised if the Rockets don't play with more emotion. You know, this is their season. Mm-hmm. I think they do care. What we have seen in the bubble is teams are not just sort of packing and ready to get out as soon as they can when they're in trouble. So I think they will come with it more. And I think there's times a coach has to give a team reason to believe. And I think D'Antoni's done that by showing ways that they can free Harden to do more than just draw the double team and give up the ball. So I don't know if that'll work, but at least they come into the game with a plan that will allow them to say, yeah, this is what we can do. We're not just working on faith. They have something more tangible to force them to believe that they can beat the Lakers, a solution to the problem that they've had.
Jonathan Fagan, who covers the Houston Rockets for the Houston Chronicle, joining Lakers Talk tomorrow. Lakers and the Rockets will be game five. Lakers an opportunity to close out the series. Of course, Houston trying to prolong the series as long as they can. Jonathan, just to kind of look at the big picture here with the Houston Rockets, hypothetically, if things don't go the Rockets' way, this series ends within the next couple of days. What is the future of this Houston Rockets team? And I'm asking the question because if they fall out in the second round, and listen, there's no shame if you fall out to Anthony Davis and LeBron James, but if that is the case, do you think there's major changes coming to this Rockets team this offseason? What do you think the future holds?
Well, it kind of depends what somebody considers major, but I would think there would be quite a lot. As far as Mike D'Antoni, as everyone knows, his contract is up. He's not the typical lame duck in that he was offered contracts. They negotiated for weeks and weeks. So the Rockets did want to lock him up, and it was more of they couldn't reach an agreement. But if they couldn't reach an agreement then, how are they going to reach one now? Are the Rockets going to offer much more than when they thought they were championship contenders? And so there's a very good chance, even though You know, Daryl Morey has told me that, yes, he wants him back, that he values him. Tillman Fertitta has told me that he leaves it, he's going to leave that up to Daryl, that he trusts him on that, and, you know, they'd like to have him back. You say those things, I'm just not optimistic that they can reach agreement on a deal when you know D'Antoni can get the contracts that the Rockets would not have offered last summer. So that's why I'm hopeful that they can lock him up, but pessimistic. As far as the roster, it's tough. They can't blow it up and just lose, because if they do that, the team that benefits is the Oklahoma City Thunder. They really are not motivated greatly to help the Thunder get better. But the Thunder has two of their picks and the right to switch draft order in two other drafts. So getting lousy isn't going to help them. It's really hard. You can try and trade people who make the kind of money Russell Westbrook makes, but it's hard to do that and get better. They have so much money locked up into three guards, James Harden, Eric Gordon, and Russell Westbrook. How do you do it? And you don't have draft picks. So you don't have assets to dramatically improve. And so it's just really tough to see widespread changes. But in terms of the number, or major changes, as you put it, but as far as the bench, there's nobody signed long-term that plays. Austin Rivers is signed for another year, but at a player option, he very well could look to get a bigger role somewhere and would probably get it and for more money. Jeff Green is not signed for next year. Ben McLemore, the Rockets, who knows what happens with Daniel House now. Mm-hmm. He's signed for two more years and a pretty good contract. But I think the Rockets have some issues with Daniel now. So it's going to be a very interesting offseason whenever it begins.
All right, for those who don't know, Daniel House is now leaving the Orlando bubble for not following the protocols there in the Orlando bubble. So that's the latest on him. He'll no longer be a part of this series. Jonathan Fagan, who covers the Houston Rockets for the Houston Chronicle, joining Lakers Talk. We're previewing tomorrow's game and also getting a little bit more of a Rockets perspective. Jonathan, do you feel that Russell Westbrook, do you feel he's going to be part of the future for the Rockets?
Yeah, I think so. I think they've sort of, they're wedded to this backcourt. With the money that they make, the kind of contracts, I don't see how you can do it, because most teams would have to send back the same amount of money. Well, there's some with that kind of cap room, but very few. How do you trade him and get better? I don't know how you do that. And if you do that, you're sort of signaling rebuild, but you can't rebuild because they don't have the draft picks. So it's very difficult to imagine them making that kind of move. And plus, they've never sort of tanked. They have the longest streak in the playoffs in the NBA. You know, Yao and McGrady left. They wouldn't tank. They've always sort of stayed competitive. And Fertitta has said that he always will too. But I think it's more the realities of the contracts that they have to find a way to bolster themselves around Harden and Westbrook, at least for another year or two, rather than just try and dump them off somewhere.
Jonathan, final one from me, and again, we appreciate you taking the time, is there's nobody that probably has more insight on this as far as watching James Harden on a night-in, night-out basis and then seeing him in the postseason over the years and so forth. Is the criticism fair? I've spent some time talking about this in our pregame show when we do it, sometimes in the postgame show as well for this Lakers-Rockets series. Is the criticism fair that he is a player that in big playoff moments shrinks? Or do you think that doesn't tell the full story, the full picture?
Yeah, most of it's unfair. It's not entirely. Most of it's unfair because people forget the big moments he did come through. Mm-hmm. So then they move on to the next game and then get eliminated. Well, the ones he won count. You know, it's like people remember the ones he lost, but not the ones he won. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't do a lot in, say, the Clipper comeback in Game 6, but he did in Game 7. That was also an elimination game. That said, he does have the Warriors game when he had the 12 turnovers. He does have the no-show in game six against the Spurs. That created his reputation. Mm. He had a really good series against the Warriors last year, blind in one eye for most of the series, and he was really good. But you don't change your reputation in a series you lose. So he already had a reputation. If that was all we saw, people would talk about him very differently, but he already had a reputation. Last night, I think some of the criticisms were unfair. He goes 2 of 11. He missed some tough shots. That's all he was getting. And yes, he did sort of just invite the double team, give up the ball. Some people would argue that's the right basketball play. Mm-hmm. If he got a few more of those floaters to go in, he'd add better numbers, but he still was 21 and 10, getting double teamed every possession. And it's funny, I hear people talk about it. He didn't take any shots in the fourth quarter. Well, yeah, he did, but he got fouled on him. So they're not in the box score, but free throws count. He's 0 for 0. But yeah, the free throws actually do count. He got fouled. So he did take some shots. Or I've heard a lot of people talk about it and never even mentioned that he got double teamed every possession. Mm-hmm. I do think, though, he has to find ways to get into the offense way more quickly, to attack a guy before the double team can come. He needs to do things differently and better, no question. But as far as his reputation, it's way incomplete to say it is the way people talk about it. But that came from his play in some series to begin with. Now he's got to win one in these elimination situations to change the reputation that already exists.
Yeah, John, I think, this is the point I was making earlier on the show. I do feel like, in a sense, it is unfair, and it's unfair because I think the expectations are unfair. What I'm referring to there is if you thought a James Harden-led team with the Houston Rockets was going to beat any of those Warriors teams, your expectation I don't think was aligned the right way. And even though the Rockets got incredibly close to beating the Golden State Warriors, and of course Chris Paul went down with that injury, or this year, I'll use this year as an example, if you think the Rockets should be going toe-to-toe the Los Angeles Lakers, again, I just don't think it's a fair assessment, but everybody has their opinion. I thought getting your thoughts on that would be it'd be much better because you're actually watching the Rockets on a night-in, night-out basis. Jonathan?
Well, look at it this way.
Yes, sir.
If he hit a couple of those floaters, maybe one or two more of those threes, he'd be around 30 and 10 mm-hmm. or 28 and 10, and that would not have changed his reputation in any way.
You're right.
The numbers would look better, mm-hmm. but if you lose, you're just not changing what people say. It's just kind of the way it is in the profession he's chosen.
Well, Jonathan, we appreciate you taking the time. Tomorrow, Lakers-Rockets, Game 5, 3-1, Los Angeles Lakers right now. Appreciate the insight, all right?
Anytime. Take care.
All right, that's Jonathan Fagan right there. Covers the Rockets for the Houston Chronicle coming up tomorrow, Lakers and the Rockets. Final thoughts coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, thank you to Jonathan Fagan. Great to get a little perspective on the Houston Rockets. Hopefully we don't have to get too much more perspective moving forward because Lakers will take care of business tomorrow against the Houston Rockets. A couple other things I want to get into. Quick reminder, Dr. Clapper tomorrow starting at 7 a.m. Pre-game show starts at 3 p.m. and then tip-off will be at 5 o'clock, so a couple plug-ins there. I spent some time, I mentioned this, we get a chance to talk to, obviously some of these Laker players and the coaches, and the access has been fantastic. We do these Zoom calls. So defense for the Lakers over these last few games, I just want to highlight that for a quick second. So far in the postseason, it's been great. I'll give some numbers. So against the Houston Rockets so far, they're giving up 106 points per game on average over those four games. Okay, so just think about that for a second. Lakers gave up yesterday in the first half, they gave up 41 points. They were up 16 points at halftime. In the second half of game three, they gave up 38 points to the Houston Rockets. So I'm not saying Lakers are playing 48 minutes of flawless basketball on the defensive side, but certainly what the Lakers are doing on defense is something that we should appreciate. The Blazers series in round one, they gave up on average 107 points per game. These are two very, very potent offenses. These are two teams that could put up 130, 135 any given night. We've seen that happen. But against the Los Angeles Lakers, it's a different story. It's a completely different story. Earlier today, I asked Danny Green about what the Lakers are doing defensively in those halves that I just highlighted right there, giving up 41 points, giving up 38 points. What is it that he's seeing? And he actually, his response was much different than I thought it was going to be. And it all started with him saying, our defense is all good.
It's not what concerns me. We've always been pretty stable on that side of the floor and always been clicking pretty much on good cylinders. I notice when we're clicking on offensive end of the floor is when things open up for us. And I think when we kind of slowed the pace down, slowed the ball down and tried to play keep away too early, that's when they started to catch up. We got to continue to be the force that we are throughout the whole game and pushing the pace offensively.
So Danny Green's not worried about the Lakers' defense. He thinks that the team can actually lock down. When he was talking about, he was referencing yesterday in the second half in that fourth quarter when the Lakers started blowing that lead. Really, when it was all said and done, Lakers were only outscored by 6 points in the fourth quarter, so it really wasn't as bad as it might have looked at one point. But I want to highlight something. What Danny Green's mentioning right there on the offensive side is they actually play better defense when they're more aggressive on the offensive end. So I wasn't expecting that from Danny Green yesterday. One other thing I want to take away real quick from getting a chance to connect with the players and the coaches. Coach was asked, Vogel was asked about JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard, even though their role is virtually irrelevant. You don't see them right now at all in this series against the Houston Rockets. Literally haven't seen Dwight Howard, and JaVale McGee only played a few minutes in the first couple of games and didn't play in the last game. It kind of brings up a good point here. This is when you know you have a championship quality team, is when you got guys that understand why they're making certain sacrifices. Here's head coach Frank Vogel on both of those players.
I would echo Anthony's sentiments, and you know, we've talked about that each of the last couple of games with JaVale and with Dwight. You know, their energy on the bench is a big part of our group's enthusiasm. There's no fans, you know what I mean? So how active we are, how engaged we are with the guys that are not on the floor is a big part of generating our own energy. And, Dwight and JaVale were the loudest guys on the bench last night, you know, so they're very actively involved. And, you know, their role acceptance in a matchup-oriented series like this is everything. And it's a big reason why we're winning. You know, if they're unhappy or disgruntled or anything like that, it pulls away from what we're trying to do. And, those guys deserve a lot of credit, you know, for their approach and handling the role that's been given to them for this series.
I don't think this is highlighted enough, and I know I haven't done a good enough job talking about this. Think about how much Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee have had presence for the Lakers in the center position all season long. It's been one of the Lakers' strengths. You have guys that can play the five, play defense, coming off the bench. Dwight Howard really kind of adding a couple years to his NBA career. And all of a sudden, the drop of the hat, you take on the Houston Rockets, and now it just doesn't make sense to play them. And here the Lakers are sitting up 3-1. Nobody's complaining. Nobody's bitching and moaning and saying, you know what? No. Why aren't I getting my playing time? That's what makes a championship team, is when players are sacrificing. They're sacrificing for the better of the team, period. There's nothing else that's more important. We're trying to win an NBA championship. That's all that matters. So I think it's okay to take a second, compliment JaVale McGee, compliment Dwight Howard for not even playing. That's what I think, you know, is a team that you feel like everyone's pulling that rope in the same direction. That's kind of the mentality that this Lakers team has right now. So you got to like it. You also see players like Quinn Cook that's not getting much playing time, Jared Dudley. Nobody's complaining. Everybody understands it, and they're doing what they need to do. Okay, couple quick plugs here. Lakers Rockets tomorrow. Pregame show starting at 3 o'clock with myself and Michael Thompson. Tip-off will be at 5 o'clock with John Ireland and MT, so make sure you're tuned in. Locked right here on 710 ESPN. Starting tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., The Weekend Warrior with Dr. Clapper. That's coming up. And then just a quick thank you here to Curtis Poindexter doing all the work in the background. L.A., have a great weekend.